Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're in Deuteronomy 25 tonight, another text that has the number 40 in it. This one's a little different than the other ones that we've had because this 40 doesn't measure time. So it's not 40 days or 40 years. Tonight it's 40 stripes, 40 lashes. And even though it measures something pretty different than all the other texts so far, I don't think this text is really unrelated to the other 40s that we've seen, even though it might seem like that at first. Deuteronomy, if you just skim through your Bible and look at the headings in the book of Deuteronomy, you see all kinds of different stuff, different topics. That word, Deuteronomy, is a couple of different Greek words put together that means something like the second law. So God gave the law to Moses at Sinai in Exodus. But in Deuteronomy, then there's a second pronouncement of the law. And so you flip through your Bible, you see headings like about stuff like punishments for various kinds of crimes, warfare, property disputes, how to observe the church calendar, how to take care of the clergy, priests and Levites, tithing, lots of other things. Once in a while, in a few places, you'll see a heading that says something like miscellaneous laws. Right? So those are places where you have a string of verses and commandments that don't have any clear, obvious connection to each other. So for instance, I didn't include this as part of our reading tonight, but the very next verse after our reading, verse 4, Deuteronomy 25, verse 4, says that you're not supposed to, you shall not muzzle an ox when it is treading out grain. And so that comes right after how far you're allowed to beat someone. No real obvious connection. I mean, so what's that? Why? Well, the ox works hard for you. And the ox deserves to get something to eat once in a while during the work day. And if you've muzzled him, then he can't do that. And that's as far as that verse goes on the surface of it. Of course, you may know this, that St. Paul quotes that verse later in the New Testament and used it as proof that congregations are supposed to pay their pastors. So there are other places in Deuteronomy that actually say that. But Paul had to pick the one that makes the clergy out to be cows. Anyway, under that same section, also under that same heading, we have laws like not forcing a man who just got married to go off immediately to war, so give him time with his new wife. Don't kidnap and enslave a fellow Israelite. If your neighbor owes you money, you don't just barge into his house or break into his house to collect it. You call him outside so that you don't terrorize his family. You don't mistreat people who work for you. You don't take a cloak from a widow. If some of your crop falls on the ground and you don't need it, you can leave it. You don't need to pick up every single grain so that the poor can come and pick up what's fallen in your field. So these are all topics in the same section as our reading under miscellaneous laws. So I think if there's anything we could see that kind of ties these together, any theme that runs through there, it might be something like the protection of the dignity of creation. So even the ox deserves a certain type of respect as one of God's creatures. To take a widow's cloak, even if she owes you something, to leave her in the cold with no coat, to disregard her status as a creature of God. So we have all that, and our text right in there with all those sorts of laws. So keep that in mind, and let's look at it. If there's a dispute between men, and they come into court, and the judge decides between them, acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty, then if the guilty man deserves to be beaten, the judge shall cause him to lie down and be beaten in his presence with a number of stripes in proportion to his offense. So there's several different branches that we could follow here, that there's different outcomes that could be reached. So you have two men that have a dispute. Well, I mean, they could settle it the old-fashioned way and fight each other. But the law of God doesn't sanction that. So they could just settle it. I mean, they could talk to each other and come to some sort of agreement. But they don't do that either. They go to court. And the judge could determine that no wrong has actually been committed. But he doesn't. Someone's guilty. And the guilty person could get a small penalty, like a fine or something. Or he could get a bigger penalty. Or he could go to prison. In some cases, he could be beaten. So the Israelites learned this in Egypt. So the archaeologists have actually uncovered ancient Egyptian statues that look just like this scene where this is being done. The guilty party lays down, face down, and some representative of the government comes and beats him with a stick. So if the judge decided that beating was the proper punishment, or even, you know, at least part of it, so then he'd order the guilty party to lay down, and it had to be done with the judge watching. And so you might think that's to make sure that the beating is severe enough, but it's not. It's actually primarily for the safety of the guy who's getting the beating. So that's another branch then. He didn't have to be beaten at all, but the judge decides that that punishment fits whatever the crime was. He should receive stripes, lashes for what he's done. But then the question is, how many? Should he get just a few? I mean, you could be sentenced to like 3 lashes. That's not fun, but it could have been 4. Could have been 6. Could have been 10. You got 3. Some of you might remember this. In 1994, there was an American teenager living in Singapore. The guy's name was Michael Fay. And Michael Fay was convicted of various acts of vandalism, stealing traffic signs and spray painting cars and stuff like that. And so he was found guilty and sentenced to 6 lashes with a cane. And it became like an international incident. You know, it was on the news every day. The President of the United States got involved. I remember this all pretty vividly because I was 16 at the time, and it occurred to me that I was occasionally just one or two different decisions away from maybe getting myself caned. You know, so I pay attention to this, and eventually, once the president started pressuring them, the authorities in Singapore reduced the sentence from 6 to 4. So even those 2 stripes were not insignificant. You know, you don't want 1. So it's a meaningful deal to go from 6 to 4. Well, ancient Israel had a little more fortitude than that. 40 stripes may be given him, but not more. 40. That's a lot. That's going to change a person's outlook. You know, it was possible for that to kill a person. In 2 Corinthians 11, remember when St. Paul is listing his apostolic credentials as someone who has suffered for the sake of Christ. He says he's had countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less 1. So think about that progression for a second. He's been beaten countless times. He doesn't even know how many times he's been beaten. Lots of times he was near death. He doesn't have a number for that. He doesn't know how many times he's been near death. But 5 times, he knows that number. 5 times I received the 40 minus 1. So those 5 times haven't been forgotten. They stand out. So what is the minus 1? So by St. Paul's day, the rabbis had reduced the maximum from 40 to 39, just in case somebody miscounted. So they like to do what they call it, building a hedge around the law. So like this is what they've done with the second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. So you build a hedge around that law, meaning we just won't say the name of God at all. So if we don't say it at all, then we don't risk breaking the commandment and misusing it. So their hedge around this law was around the no more than 40 lashes was we won't do more than 39. So that way, even if we make a mistake, we're still okay. So Paul says, lots of times I almost died, but five times I got 39 stripes. That's very severe. But it's a limit. It's 40. It's not 41. It's not until you know, they think that you've paid enough. It's not just keep going until we feel like we've made our point. It's not until the guy swinging the rod wears himself out. It's 40. Why the limit? Well, no more, lest if one should go on to beat him with more stripes than these, your brother be degraded in your sight. So it's degrading. It's dehumanizing. There's a point at which capital punishment is more humane. So if he did what calls for more than 40 lashes, just execute him. Right? So to go beyond 40 is to like the psalm, to treat this person like a worm and not like a man. And really, given that in this passage even the ox is protected, I think it's worse than dehumanizing. The ox wasn't a human to start with, and he's protected. It's not about human dignity. There are even limits for the animals. It's about the dignity of being some kind of being in relation to God. All these other people, it's being created by God. So to go beyond 40 lashes is to deny the createdness of this person. There are all these different branches for the outcome of this dispute that could prevent it from coming to this. But if it does come to this, it comes to this and no farther. 40's the limit. 40's the number of years that Israel wandered in the wilderness. Since the number of years Israel was given over to the Philistines. It's the number of days that Goliath taunted them. It's the number of days God opened the great deep and flooded the earth. 40 is the full measure of judgment. So even the most severe Israelite punishment was concerned not to go too far, not to degrade the person, to turn him into something other than a creature of God. And then the first verse of our gospel reading tonight from the Passion, according to St. John, says, then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. Pilate took Jesus. Not Caiaphas, not the high priest, not Herod, it's not the fake Jewish, fake king of the Jews. Pilate flogged him. The Roman governor, representative of Caesar, whose soldiers don't carry out their beatings in front of a judge, and they don't have a limit. They didn't read Deuteronomy. The number 40 means nothing to them. Jesus is taken outside the system of his ancestors, outside the system of his brethren who are commanded not to strip a man of his created dignity. He's given to the Romans who specialize in that. So that was the whole point. That's the whole point of the whole process, crucifixion, all of it. Everything that led up to that was to shame the criminal, to demoralize him publicly. There's plenty of ways to torture and kill someone. But this way, this scourging, this beating, this suspension in the air fastened to a cross for everyone to see, was to treat a person like random matter. Not as the intentional creation of a creator. And on this night, then our Lord is subjected to a type of punishment that was outlawed for the people of God. Type of punishment that exceeded the full measure of judgment that goes beyond 40. And that's before he's ever crucified. He did that willingly and purposefully for everyone in this room. The Creator became less than a creature. The one who slept in a manger and rode on a donkey became less than a farm animal. He became human for you at Christmas. And he became less than human for you tonight. And that's what it took to take away my sins. If that's what it took, to take away my sins, then what must my sin be? You know, what must they do to me? What must my sin make of me? Or I guess maybe unmake of me. So every sin that every one of us has ever committed or ever will commit, it's not only dehumanizing, it's an act of uncreation. It's a reversal of God's ordering of us. The reversal of God's calling us out of the dust and forming us to be something on purpose. And Jesus couldn't stand to leave us that way, so he took our place. He went outside the limits. He went beyond 40 for me and for every one of you, and he did that because his love doesn't have limits. It knows no boundaries. It's completely self-emptying. And he's brought form back to the formless, createdness back to the non-existent. He's brought life to the lifeless, love to the loveless. Tonight, because Jesus went beyond all the limits, by his wounds, we are all healed. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.